A few years ago, all of our babies and grandbabies were at our home in Colorado City, Texas. And we were having a wonderful time, and it finally came time. It was Christmas time to give out presents. We have four children. Our second oldest child, our son Kevin, gave our oldest child, his sister, a present. She opened up the present and started crying, like I'm getting ready to do. It was a picture in a beautiful frame, and it was a picture that had been made years ago of Kevin and Kelly, our daughter, when they were the only two kids that we had. And after she cried a little bit and dried out, why, she turned to him and said, "Kevin, this is the way that it was always meant to be." The other two kids didn't care too much for that, but I thought it was pretty good. But let me tell you something, folks. This is the way it was meant to be. This is home, and it always will be home. I don't know everything there is to know about heaven, and everybody who knows all there is to know about heaven doesn't know everything about heaven. But I suspect that we will know things from earth, that we'll recognize one another, and I suspect that I will rejoice through eternity for having been a part of this congregation and still really being a part of it. Dan, I never call a person a liar, but you came mighty close to it a while ago when you said, "You folks who are back visiting with us do not know the joy that we have, those that are members here, for your coming and being here." Let me tell you, Dan, we know exactly what it's like because we have the very same joy today. It's a great thrill. I'm not much for putting on, you know, and adding things to make people feel good. I try it with Tommy once in a while when I'm in trouble, but other than that, but I love you folks. Many of you I don't know, but I know that you're a part of a congregation that is one of the great churches, I believe, that has ever existed on the face of the earth. I believe, back years ago, you're going to be here a while because I haven't even started talking about what I was planning to talk about. Back a number of years ago, I was teaching a ladies' Bible class out in Colorado City. And it's Colorado City, by the way, if you think you're not hearing correctly. That's the way we pronounce it. Teaching a ladies' Bible class, and we were studying about well-known women of the Bible, most of them good and great women of the Bible. And while I was teaching, all of a sudden it dawned on me that in that class, there are women that are just as good and full of just as many wonderful contributions to the cause of Christ as those ladies that were studying in the Old and New Testament. And I told them that. And I believe I'm right. And I believe that there are congregations today that are the good congregations like those that we read about in the New Testament. And I believe that there are good brothers and sisters, and I believe that there are good gospel preachers and elders and deacons that are just as good as the great ones that we read about in the Bible. And I think this is one of the places where we see folks like that. It's such a blessing and an honor to be here. And I have thanked most of the elders, but not every one of them, but fellas, I am so thankful that you invited me and Tommy to come out here and be a part of this. And it's an extra honor. It would be a great honor just to say, come and be with us, but to be a part of this service and to be able to speak from God's Word. What a great blessing it was, and I agree 100% with Dan on this, that the Bible class was just an outstanding Bible class. I learned a couple of things beside what we studied in the book of Ephesians. I found out, for example, that Bill Boyd is not Hopalong Cassidy. He is a powerful gospel preacher, and I'm so thankful for that. I also learned that it's possible to cry and talk at the same time. because Bill did. When I get emotional, my voice starts sounding like Mickey Mouse. And I hope that you don't hear that during this service. Old friends and new friends, I'm so thankful that I'm a part of this worship service and a part of your life for a little while. We're talking about, in many ways, the heritage of this congregation. And we're not really talking so much about the heritage that we might go back to the Restoration Movement and talk about Alexander Campbell and Barton Stone and J.W. McGarvey and other great, great men who lived now a good number of years ago and have had an impact on the things that we do possibly in all likelihood today in our worship to God. But I'm thinking more about, when I think about the heritage of this congregation, I think about more those who really had a part in this work. I think about men like, and this man I only met one time in my life, W. Ray Duncan. He preached here, I don't remember how many years, but I've heard so many people say that W. Ray Duncan was a teacher that was an outstanding teacher, and a teacher that taught people in this congregation things that they needed to know and may have known later, but things that they learned from this great teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for W. Ray Duncan. I'm thankful for Bill Hatcher, and not because he was my cousin. I'm thankful for him because he was a faithful gospel preacher. I'm thankful for him because he had an impact in my life that I guess, unless it might be, and it'd be a close race, my mother and my father, had as great an impact on me as anybody in this world, I truly believe. I would not be preaching the gospel today, I think, if it were not for Bill Hatcher. And I believe, and again, I hope it's not prejudiced because of family ties, but I believe that he was one of the greatest teachers and preachers I ever heard in my life. He taught me things that, well, you'll hear some Bill Hatcher this morning. Well, that's the way we ought to do with teachers. We honor teachers who teach the truth by teaching the truth. And that's what I learned from Bill and, of course, other people as well. I'm talking about men like Fred Faulkner. A man who was an elder here, and again, I don't remember how many years, he was an elder here when I lived here, when Tommy and I lived here, and was part of the strength of this congregation. He was a part of the foundation of what exists today and what will exist in even greater form later on if Jesus doesn't return right away. He was a great elder. Their influence is seen in all of our lives, even those of you who don't know their names. Their influence is a part of your life because you're a part of this congregation. Great teachers, great shepherds, on which the Palm Beach Lakes Church is built. Tommy and I, and all of those other hands that went up, have come home. It is not your home. It is our home. I have other homes. I have a home in Colorado City, and I'm not talking about the house I live in, the church of which I'm a part. I have a home there. I have a home in Lake City, Florida, people that I love dearly that I miss so much. I have a home in a lot of places in this world, not just in the United States. But I'll tell you, this is home. And I love this place. Different building. Saw pictures of the old building, or the last building on 36th Street? On 36th Street. And I looked at those pictures and I thought, oh, isn't that neat? Isn't it beautiful? And it was. But that's not what interests me. We haven't gone past that building and I really don't care whether we do or not. This is what I've been looking forward to. Being a part of a worship service with New Testament Christians who are part of the Palm Beach Lakes Church that belongs to Jesus Christ our Savior. Thank you for being here. In Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, we see what we know anyway, and that is that there is a difference between a house and a home. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. We can leave a lot of places, and we do from time to time, but we can always come back to home. We can always come back to family. I have been not great many places in the world, but I've been several places outside the United States, and I've been many places in the United States. I came, and Tommy with me, Palm Beach Lakes last Thursday. And when we came here, guess what? We had a place to stay. Dan and Judy insisted that we stay with them, and had they not, which wouldn't have shocked me, had they not, Bill and Inell would have invited me to stay with them. My old secretary, I don't mean you're old, but my secretary from old times, would have insisted that we have a home. We have lots of homes. But this is home when we're all together like this. We've come home. Back, I don't remember how many years ago, I went back to Detroit, Michigan, where I was born and raised. And my cousin said, while Tommy and I were there, would you like to drive around and see some of the old places that you remember? And we drove past 1504 Field. That was where, when I was born in Eastside General Hospital, that was home. And I lived there for, I think, about 8 years, 7 or 8 years. And I still remember a lot of things about that lower flat and my aunt and uncle living on the flat above us. And I remember a lot of things about the neighborhood. And we drove down Field Avenue, and we passed the place where Field School used to be, and it wasn't there anymore. And down at the end of that same block was 1504 Field. And not only that residence, but every house along there was boarded up. Every single one. And within a matter of a month or two after that, they were to be torn down, and were. Well, I would have loved to have stopped, even though everything was boarded up, and just kind of let things sink into my eyes and my mind. But that wasn't really home. That wasn't really home. My mother and dad were home. My older sister that I had was a part of home. My aunt and uncle upstairs were part of home. The church, I've been attending church services since 9 months before I was born. Really, truly have. That's home. This world is a different place, though. At the time that we have a song of encouragement, we're going to sing the song, "This World Is Not My Home." And I think most all of us, or probably all of us, know that song. And it means so much to me. It means so much to me. Because it's so easy to get involved in this world. It's so easy to get involved in the things of this world. What do we work for? Well, we work to buy a house. We work to buy furniture. We work to buy a car. We work to buy another car. We work to buy another car. And that's what life is to most people. Is just getting along from day to day and having more and more and more. But the song says, and when we sing that song, I know that you will, because of the songs that we've already sung while I've been here, you're going to sing it with all of your heart and soul, because you know that it's true. This world is not my home. In Colossians chapter 3, the first couple of verses, well, he continues on, but especially the first two verses of that chapter, Paul the apostle, writing by inspiration of the Spirit, said in this passage, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth." Our affections, if we're faithful children of God, are not in this building, not in this world, not in the beach, not in Disney World, not in anything except Jesus Christ. It is Him and His body upon which we center our lives, because that's what the Bible commands that we do. The song says, I'm just passing through. And for some it takes a while, for some it doesn't take as long. But those who might live to be 100 years of age, or those who might live to be a 969 years as Methuselah did, we're just passing through. It's just a spot. It's just a speck. It takes no time at all. I cannot believe, and Dan and Judy, we were talking about this, and a lot of you have had the same conversation, maybe everybody who's over 50 or 60 years old. I can't believe that I'm 68 years old. I can't believe. And the reason that when I look in the mirror, I just look to part my hair and I go on, because I can't believe what I look like. But every bit of that is telling me, Carrie, you're just a part-timer, and today you're a short-timer in this world. Unless Jesus returns soon, I won't be here much longer. If I live to be 100, I won't be here much longer. And you and I are all in exactly the same situation. Our citizenship, Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 20, is in heaven. Folks, it's not in the United States of America. It is not in the United States of America. Whatever happens in this election that's going to come to pass soon, whatever takes place in the future while we're still living in this world, and some things do not look good. We look back to our childhood in the United States and we see things that have just fallen apart. But our citizenship isn't here. Our home is not here. As wonderful a place as Palm Beach is, as wonderful a place as Florida is, as wonderful a place as the United States is, this isn't it. This isn't it. My treasures are laid up, the song says, somewhere beyond the blue. Like the great men and women and nations that we read about in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It was true for them, and it is true for us as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, let me begin reading in verse 8. By faith, Abraham. He's called the father of the faithful many times, or we call him that. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange land. You want to give another name to the United States of America or to this world in which we live? It's a strange land. It's not ours. It's not a part of us. We look around, we drive around, and we see the riches of Palm Beach County. We see the sin of Palm Beach County as well when we look from place to place. It's not ours. We don't have anything to do with it. Oh, we're living here. We're sojourners, but we're just living here for a little while. And so Paul, if he's a Hebrew writer, talks about the faith of Abraham and his sojourning. In verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations. This church building has foundations, or it wouldn't be here by now. You remember the two-story, those of you that have been in a part of the church here for a little while, the two-story classroom over on 36th Street? You remember what took place? It was already in the process of sinking into the ground when Tommy and I moved here in 74. And I suppose it's still sinking. I don't know. It didn't have a good foundation. Well, you know what? Neither does this building. Neither does your house you live in. It's going to be burned up one of these days. It's not going to last any time at all. But there is a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the reason that this service is such a wonderful thing. It's not because we're such wonderful people. If we wanted to, we could get together and pick one another to death. Some folks do that. We could do it. But the reason that we love one another, and the reason that we are close to one another, and the reason that we try to build one another up is not Palm Beach Lakes Church. It's that home that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Next part of that song is one that just brings up dreams in my mind. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. We know that there's a door. We know that there are gates, but there is a door as well. Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 is speaking to one of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. There is a door, and you and I have the opportunity. We have the power to open and to close that door. But there's a door. And this song gives an indication as well of a door to heaven. And the angels are beckoning us. You know, we could study and talk, I think, for time eternal, maybe, about angels and what they have to do with us and with the church and with Jesus. And the things that we learn about them are things that ought to be a great encouragement to us to be faith, to be a part of the family of God, and to be faithful as a part of that family of God. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, that's the passage where Jesus said, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." You and I are sinners. Every time you and I repent of our sins, every time someone who is out in the world, who has not come to Jesus Christ through their obedience to the gospel, through their faith in Him as the Son of God, everyone who turns to Jesus and repents of his sins and is baptized, the angels rejoice in heaven, as does the Father and does the Son and the Spirit. They rejoice. And I don't know exactly what it's like, but because of my living in this world, I suppose, I have the idea that they scream and shout with joy every single time that you and I repent of our sins. The angels are that concerned about us that they're just watching us. They're studying us all the time. Their eyes are upon us as well as God in heaven. And they can just hardly wait until we do something that is right in the sight of God. What great friends we have in heaven, in the angels. In the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, we read about two men in part of that chapter. A rich man whose name is not given, and a poor man who's named Lazarus. I've dreamed about this so many times. The Bible says that both men died. Verse 22 of that chapter says that Lazarus was carried by angels to paradise. Brethren, I do not know of anything so special about Lazarus that he would be the only one that would be escorted by angels into heaven. I believe with all of my heart that when I die, if I'm a faithful Christian, that angels will be a part of my being taken from this world and into eternity. I believe with all of my heart that I have been in rooms where family has died or where other family, spiritual family members have died, members of the body of Christ, and been there when they died. I did not hear anything. I did not see anything, but I feel that it is absolutely certain that angels were in that room and took them to heaven. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And then the song says, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, when we know who Jesus is, when we appreciate the power and the greatness and the love of God, when we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the reliance that we have upon Him, for it is through Him and His power that we have the Word that has the power to save us. When we recognize them, when we appreciate them, and when we recognize our brothers and sisters in Christ as well, those who have gone before us. I had two sisters. One has died a long time ago. One still living. But also had a brother that was born, and he died when he was born. 3 years younger than I am, or he would be. I have no doubt in my mind that I'll meet that unnamed brother of mine someday in heaven. I have a daughter-in-law that has had I don't know how many miscarriages. And some of you women here, and I'm not minimizing the importance of the father at all, but some of you women have carried babies for a while or have had babies and they were born and they died before they should have died. They're supposed to wait until mother and dad die. You have experienced, many of you I know, have experienced that sort of thing. And it is something I found out from my mother when she was she was in her middle 80s, I suppose. And this brother of mine came up in the conversation and she couldn't talk. 70 years later. But ladies, sisters in Christ, and brothers in Christ, you'll see them. You'll be with them. They're waiting for us. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are waiting for us. Abraham is waiting for us. Isaac and Jacob, Paul and Peter and all of the apostles and the great ones that we read about in the Bible, Old and New Testament. They're waiting for us. And I would suppose that they're looking and watching and waiting for us in the same way that the angels are. Just cheering us on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little longer. Don't let those difficulties overcome you. Hang in there. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And because of that, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Why, when I see what the Bible says about what's going on in heaven and who's in heaven, how in the world can I say, I want to see the latest movie that came out and I'll just die if I don't see that movie. Or I want to go see the... I think Miami still has a football team, don't they? The Miami football team... I want to go see them play. I'm getting season tickets and all this. Well, those are wonderful things. But when you lay it alongside of what we read about heaven in this book, it's 0 divided by 2. It's not anything at all. It's just nothing. What do you want more than anything in this world? What's the most important thing to you in this world? I tried to teach my children and I had some success. Maybe more, hopefully more than I thought. But I try to teach my children the thing you need to know and want the most of anything in the world is to go to heaven. That'll solve a lot of problems. Who am I going to marry? Well, what do you want to do more than anything in this world? I want to go to heaven. Marry a girl, she may be the prettiest thing in the world. She may not be. Who can help you go to heaven, fellas? Girls exactly the same way. We can get starry-eyed. I get starry-eyed when I see Tommy now and then. And I think I might have married her partly because of her looks. But she was the kind of girl that grew up the way I grew up. In a family where people were concerned about Jesus Christ and heaven. I'm sure that my mother and dad wanted more than anything else in this world of me that I go to heaven. My mother told me when I was, well, she was quite old, that she prayed while she was carrying me that I'd be a preacher someday. But if I'd never preached one second in my life and went to heaven, her work would be a great success. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, I have no friend like Jesus, the song then says. I have no friend like Jesus. I want to tell you, we joke a lot. And I've even joked a lot here in this pulpit about Dan and Judy Jenkins, especially Dan. He is my best friend. He's my best friend. Now, kind of like Holmes, I have other best friends. Some of them are in this auditorium. But I have other best friends other places as well. But this does not minimize what I'm saying. Dan and Judy Jenkins are my best friends. And I'm sure Tommy would agree with me on that. They are wonderful, great people. But the song says, I don't have a friend that measures up to Jesus. And it's true. As wonderful as much as I love these people and others, there's no friend like Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not one other name. Dan Jenkins cannot save me. He can preach to me the saving word, but he cannot save me. But Jesus has the power to save me. One of the passages that we looked at in our Bible study this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. For an individual who is in Christ, he is a friend of Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about those who are his friends and those to whom he is a friend in a lot of places, especially in the book of John. But in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Wow. Ye are my friends. I'm a friend of Jesus. If you do what I say. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth that which the Lord knoweth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And he continues on. He's our friend, and we're his friends. We sing a song sometimes, what a friend we have in Jesus. And there's so many ideas in that song. I'm not going to go further with that song, but just think about it. There's another one, what a Savior. I can't remember too much about that song. I haven't sung it as many times, but what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He did it on the cross. He continues to watch over us as we sin from time to time as human beings, striving to live the life of Jesus Christ, but making a mess of it from time to time. When we come back to Him, when we come home to Jesus, you see that then we have a friend who is always with us. Friends sometimes can turn out not to be friends. Or friends can be friends for a while and then, for various reasons, no longer be friends. But Jesus is our friend if we follow His word. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Luke chapter 15, the son, smart aleck kid like most of us were from in one way or another, you know, when we were younger. Some of us still are. And I'm not talking about any particular person because I'm the only one that I know for sure about. Some of us still are. We have a little smart aleck streak every once in a while. He had that kind of a thing and he left, and you know the story. We're not going to go into the story. He ruined his life. And finally he said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And so the Bible tells us that he did that, and before he was able to get the words out of his mouth, Daddy was hugging his neck. Daddy was crying. Daddy accepted him back because he was coming back. And that's the way it is with our home. That's the way it is with our home in heaven. It's a home that we will see. We've not seen it as yet. We have bought into that home, if you might word it that way, by being obedient to Jesus Christ and holding on to Him in good times and bad times. We have a part of that home. But we've not seen it yet with our own eyes, but someday we will. Here we are but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim. That was one of the songs we sang last night. But to cheer us on our journey, here we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansion rise. Soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Oh, what a thought that is. Going home. There are some in this assembly this morning who need to come home to Jesus Christ. There are some that have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, have never been baptized into Christ, which Paul tells us in Romans 6, 3 and 4, and Galatians 3, 26 and 27, the only two passages in all of this world that tell us how to get into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found, that we are baptized into Him. Some may have never done that as yet. And we want you to have that opportunity to come to God's home. Be a part of the home where Jesus is the ruler. Be a part of the home that we love and we enjoy and we appreciate, and we want you to be with us and help us and us be able to help you. Most of us in this assembly are children of God. But there may be some of us who are God's children who have wandered away from home, who do not have that love and care and concern for God the Father and Jesus, our elder Son, for the angels that are waiting for us and cheering for us, and for the faithful that have gone before. We may have turned aside and let the world cause our eyes to be moved just a little bit away from the goal that we have of heaven as our home. What do you want? What do you want more than anything in this world? If it's to come to that home in heaven someday, come back home this morning. Let us help you while we stand and sing the invitation song.